your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Health Forum with Ruth Sackman. All comments, views, and opinions are solely those of the hosts, guests, and callers. In the next hour, Ruth and her guests guide you through the maze of health information and misinformation out there. So pull up a chair. Here's your host, Ruth Sackman.
Well, welcome to Health Forum again. Before we go into our topic today, let me introduce you to my co-host, Consuelo Reyes.
Hi, welcome back to the show. As always, why don't I just give you that toll-free call-in number if you'd like to call in the second half hour of the show. That's the number you see in the center of your screen if you're sitting at the Voice America website. It's 1-866-472-5792. 1-866-472-5792. And as we mentioned last week, we know that a lot of people can't listen live to the show because it's difficult time and they catch the archives. So if you do have any other questions, always feel free to call the office at FACT, and that number is 212-741-2790. 212-741-2790 here in New York City.
Well, in case you weren't prepared with pen and pencil, I know Consuelo is going to repeat that for you, but you ought to be prepared. Well, our topic today is the natural healing power of the body. I don't think we ever give it an opportunity to show how powerful it can be. We're so conditioned by health information that's been swirling about us, I think, from the time of birth, that if something happens, you've got to see the doctor, you must take medicine, you must do something to correct it. Well, we need to shift that kind of thinking, not discard the doctor's help, but to shift the kind of thinking and also take into our thinking the natural healing ability of the body. You have to understand, before medicine was created, before there were doctors there, of course there were sort of herbalists around, I think, from early times. But it's a natural kind of healing. But we didn't have all these medications, and people survived. As a matter of fact, the Bible says they survived well into their hundreds. Hope that's so, but the feeling is that the human system, like all animal species, has a life expectancy, and that the human system should be about 120. Well, we'll be all glad to meet that, I guess. But let me explain something to you. If you go into surgery, or you're in an accident, and there's a deep cut of some kind, what takes care of it? It isn't what the doctor does. He might be able to put the parts together so that they'll heal in place. But what actually takes place is the natural healing process takes over and knits that flesh together and can do a very good job. The only thing you might have left is a mark of a scar of where it was, and that can be very limited as well. And even take into account a broken bone. The doctor comes along, he does his part by putting the bone in place, but the healing takes place by the body. We have to understand that enormous ability to heal. I was talking to one of the people here yesterday in the office, and we were talking about a brother who has a problem. And at some point, and I said, we all produce abnormal cells. When we're under stress, some cells come out abnormal. We eat improperly for a time. The body is tired or overtired, and we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. There are so many things that can impact on the body so that cells are produced in not the best form. And she sat here and she said, but doesn't our immune system take care of that? And she was absolutely right. That's what takes care of the bad material that builds up in the body. But that, again, it's the natural power of the body to watch over itself and take care of whatever is the problem. Now, the immune system not only will slough off cancer cells, and this is not a concept that I've created. There are doctors out there who have been saying this for a long time, that bad cells can be produced by people at any time of the day. It isn't the system. We don't agree with the medical community saying it's one cell that has mutated and then, of course, is reproducing itself. And frankly, based on that concept that they've had and following it through in research, has not come up with a cure yet that they can claim we can cure cancer. Do you see? So let's get back to a different concept of how cells are produced and how the body takes care of what it needs to take care of. It doesn't only kill cancer cells. It looks at, it takes care of any foreign material. It sloughs off the cancer cells because it considers those materials foreign to the body. But we ingest, hopefully not too much, at least I don't, and I'm sure Consuelo doesn't ingest too much of the toxic substances that the FDA is approving to be put in our food supply. You've got coloring, and you've got pesticides, and you've got things to enhance the flavor, and I think there must be 30,000 different chemicals that have been approved, and I can't tell you what all of them do. Some of them take care of the texture to see if it has to be soft, it's soft. If it has to be firm, it's firm. There's so much put into the food supply, and then not only what's put into the food supply, but what's put into the ground in order for it to grow to a larger size. Usually the larger size is not as tasty as the small size, but that doesn't matter. It probably looks better, and that's important to the grower, and if it's larger, it probably sells, you get more per pound and all of that. But the body will look upon that material as foreign material. And on a daily basis, if that immune system is functioning, it will get rid of that material. The harm arises, of course, when the immune system is overloaded or exhausted. When I say overloaded, it can't get rid of all of it. There's so much of it, it puts some of it in storage. And then, of course, it can be overworked to the degree that it actually gets tired and isn't doing its work. Well, when that happens, the body is in trouble. We feel...
When you say immune system, aren't we really saying the whole body function in a way? It's not one organ?
You're absolutely right. The immune system is not one organ. It's a combination of organs doing their work. And it means the elimination in the colon and in the kidneys, of course. It means even bringing in oxygen. The body is breathing. There's an organ called the thymus gland, which enhances immunity. There are so many things that play a part, many parts that work for this kind of activity, and it's called the immune system. We visualize possibly when we say a system, there's something you can put your finger on, but not in this instance.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, where was I before that? What were we discussing? What?
Foreign material in our bodies that's put in.
Yeah, the material that we... Now, when we build up that material, if it gets... It could be corrected periodically. The immune system gets a rest, it's revitalized. See, this again is the normal function of the body, the power of the body to do its work. We all know that the liver will regenerate itself, that it will return to normal. Another thing that the body does, because it knows that the liver is a real workhorse of the body, more so than the heart, although we know if the heart stops, we die. But the real work is done by the liver. It has about 300 different tasks to do, which it does quite well, if we give it a chance to do that. All right. I want to talk a little bit about the obsession our society has with germs, bacteria, viruses, and all of that area. We feel as though we have to be protected at all times, be careful, make sure that we don't pass on germs to other people. What we need to take into account in visualizing this is that you can have a room full of people, and someone in there comes in with some kind of bacteria or virus, and only a few of the people come down with it, not necessarily the whole room. So what we want to talk about are those people who don't get sick when there are things of that kind going. There again, this is the power of the body. It's what we call host resistance. You make sure you build up that body's ability. That's where you put the emphasis. Not look for bactericides, not look for things that are going to kill germs all the time. Take them internally and externally. What you put on the skin becomes internal, though. You know, that's an organ of absorption. But what we need to do is to concentrate on building up the body's own power of resistance. And this is what they call in the medical community host resistance. We're coming to the beginning of the end of the first quarter. We'll be back, and Consuelo, I'm sure, will give you whatever information you need. And at the end of the second quarter, there's a call-in time, and you can ask questions of all kinds. All right, we'll be back.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must-reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in to Health Crusades with John Farley every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Health Crusades seeks to enhance one's lifestyle, physical, mental, emotional, financial, and intellectual empowerment. Your host, John Farley, the author of Living Lean and the creator of the revolutionary Sleep Slim Weight Management System, brings expert guests to inform and entertain you each week. A live healing circle is also provided for those facing life-challenging health issues. That's Health Crusades with John Farley, every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Well, we're back. This is Health Forum. During the intermission, Consuelo, talking to me, made a point, which I think would be interesting for the audience, and that's about the FDA. Do you want to talk about it?
Sure. Well, you mentioned, I think it's important to note that when you mentioned that there are some 30,000 chemicals added to our food, colorings, preservatives, and so on, that are approved by the FDA, what that really means is that they are approved for the purpose that they're supposed to affect the food, if it's coloring. They're not necessarily approved or tested for any kind of safety or toxicity. Normally what happens is when there's
they
a problem.
They are tested for safety and toxicity.
Not all of them, according to...
Well, go ahead.
Yeah, as I've read it, often that's why later on you hear problems like saccharin or these other things that are found to have health problems with people, and then they're often removed. But as far as the law goes that I've understood, I don't believe that's changed.
All right. Actually, the FDA does not do the testing. They usually rely upon laboratory results that are paid for by the people looking for approval. But I think we need to add to this some additional information, and that's what they call the GRAS list, G-R-A-S, mm-hmm. You know, and it means it's generally
approved as safe. Generally approved as safe, I think.
Yeah. All right. So it's not necessarily that they're saying it's an absolute, and this is why in time they have to make changes and pull it off the market because it's, and they don't always take it off the market. What they do say, too often, from my standard, is use as directed.
Right.
And that isn't always understood as well as it should. I would like to see the Food and Drug Administration have a much more careful standard than the one they have now. But anyway, it's a good point to make.
Unfortunately, yeah, a lot of the tests, too, that, as you say, are done by the manufacturer or the...
Yes.
They are short-term. They're not really long-term studies.
That's right. And very often it's on animals and not necessarily... And can't possibly be done on humans.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get back to host resistance because this is something if is possible to build up and to maintain. And as I say, very often if you are in a position where that resistance isn't there or the immunity isn't there, the body usually takes a nice rest, relaxes after a while, the problems sort of go into the background, and it rebuilds itself. It isn't as though once it's out of order, you're sunk. It rebuilds, and this is what I mean by the power of the body. It tries in every way to maintain health. As I said to someone, the natural healers years ago used to say, it fights for survival. And she said, well, we don't just want survival. And she's right. If that term leaves the impression it's just to survive, we don't mean that. We mean to be alive and have a zest for life and energy and everything else. And this is what the body can provide. And it would be nice to see that everybody understood that and took steps to try to achieve that. Sometimes there are people, babies born with certain handicaps that may not be overcome, but by and large, the vast majority of people come into this world with that ability and can go through life for a long life with that ability to have host resistance, good immunity. I think I started to say something about the immune system. When it breaks down and it is not doing its work and it can't recover because the conditions that the human being puts the immune system under won't allow it to come back into activity and to do the work it can do, it starts to accumulate. And there, in natural healing, and this is what we talk about here, and we've looked into very thoroughly what the natural healers had to say, and the natural healing is not confined to people without MD degrees. There are people with the medical degrees who are training and learning and coming into the natural healing field because it's producing results of a different kind. There should be a partnership between both groups. No one should destroy what's in existence, nor should the natural healing activity be relegated to a secondary position. It belongs in a primary position with everything else. Now back to this business of the immune system probably not functioning well any longer and building up into something. Now, if there's a feeling that if that takes place 20, 30, 40 years, it might develop a tumor from those toxins that are no longer being eliminated. And even dead cells are toxic. And you know, cells die all the time and are replaced by healthy cells. That process has to go on all the time. So you can see where this debris can build up. And if it forms a tumor, of course, usually the diagnosis is it's a malignancy. But it doesn't only relate to cancer. It can cause any degeneration. We think cancer is a degenerative disease, but any process can develop into a chronic degenerative disease. And this is what you have to watch out for. So if by any chance there are symptoms that the body is not functioning in a normal fashion, you want to first look to see if you've been doing things that have created that and correct them. I think we've talked at length here on more than one program of what lifestyle does the repair. I ought to give you a brief summary of it, and you can look at the archives at some time and get more in-depth information. But because this talk was primarily about the power, the natural power of the body to heal, we'll just touch on it. It's the raw food that nature supplies, and certainly in the early days, it didn't supply it with a stove, so it wasn't necessarily meant to be cooked, you see. So raw food, some of that raw food with all of the natural elements unchanged by heat, which heat does make a change. It destroys some, it alters the activity of some. But if you take in enough raw food in your diet, it would be nice to consider above a 50% mark so that more of your intake is going to be of that healthy kind. And that means vegetables, fruits. Some people want to concentrate on one vegetable. You're better off thinking in variety, in moderation. You want grains in the diet. You want starch or what we call carbohydrates. People think every bit of fruit ought to be eliminated. Other programs that have been developed are fruit programs for fruitarians. I don't think any of these diverse things away from what nature has provided in the long run actually makes the most sense. The most sense is to have all of what nature intended for the body. And we are not herbivorous. We're an omnivorous creature. And if you want to discuss that or argue that, you can, but this is a fact, actually. Now, if we have that wide range of nutrients, everything that the body requires, the protein, the starches, the carbohydrates, and I would like to add, and I think this is essential, and we find that there's article after article gives credibility to it, you need some fermented food. Evidently, in nature, some food would ferment, and people ate it anyway. So previous generations, it might have been a normal process in the diet, you see. There's evidence that it helps the digestion, it replaces intestinal flora, but I don't want to go into one of these on an individual basis, but to give you the broader concept, and as I say, you can go into the archives if you want a more in-depth understanding of what the diet ought to be, as a rule, not only maintain health, but in some instances, correct it. The cancer patients we have presented here to you, and we've presented two or three by this time, and the doctors who have come in as guests, which we appreciate, all follow that same kind of thinking. Now, the cancer patients we've presented have 25, 30-year recoveries, and they're living normal lives. It's hard to even call it a recovery, just to think that they're just recovered, but they're vulnerable. They really have the resistance that they need, and they're energetic, more energetic than most people at their age, and it's all done by repairing the breakdown that might have been producing abnormal cells, correcting that breakdown in body chemistry, and nature comes along and assists in the process, is there to help at all times if we work with it instead of doing things that are going to suppress it. For instance, if we allow signs of the flu, a little nose running, coughing, a little fever, if we allow some of these things to do the work that nature was trying to do before we suppress it with antibiotics, I don't want to be down on antibiotics as though they have no purpose. Something can go beyond the point of control, and that's when that kind of thing can be used. I call that crisis medicine. Unfortunately, it's used too promiscuously.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, it has drawbacks. We're coming at, we're finished.
Shall I squeeze in that? Let me give the number real fast.
Yes, please.
It's 1-866-472-5792. 1-866-472-5792.
Helping you make informed decisions for your life. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's Quarterly Magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Tune in on Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart, the program that takes you on a journey through grief after the death of a child. Join Dr. Gloria Horsley, marriage and family therapist and bereaved parent, while she interviews and discusses with other bereaved parents and siblings how they have coped with the death of a child and gone on to create and realize new dreams. So tune in Thursdays at 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Healing the Grieving Heart with Dr. Gloria Horsley, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
We're back.
Yes, that's our signal.
Yep.
All right. We're back. It's Health Forum. Consuelo, do you want to give that telephone number again? And possibly the one for the office. I think it was given officially on their
There is a
advertising
a promo there during the break.
All right, but give the call in number.
Sure. That toll free number is 1-866-472-5792. 1-866-472-5792. And the fact office is in New York City, 212-741-2790, 741-2790, area code 212. And by the way, our website, you might want to take a look. It's FACT, F as in Foundation, A-C-T, -ltd.org.
All right. I get calls at the office that where people, instead of calling in on the program, which is something I prefer because that answer is heard by a lot of people, they call the office and ask questions. And there's another problem. They don't have the time to listen. Some people don't have the time to listen between 1 and 2 o'clock on Wednesdays, so they get the program on the archives, which is fine. There's no way they can call in getting the information on the archives. So we're left with, limited call-ins during this time. It's all right, though, but I'd like to urge people, if they've got something to say, that the preference is to call during this time. And you've got the telephone number, and we're here to answer your questions. You know, following through about this, some people are uneasy about hearing their voice on radio. I invited one of the cancer patients this morning to be on the next program. That's Paulette Cobain, who has a very interesting story to tell about how do you find the right program for yourself, because she started out with one that didn't work for her, and she had to change. If she didn't change, she'd probably fail with what she was doing. So that, I think, is going to be important for people to hear, that she went through that process of trying one and then had to shift to something else. So I've invited her to come on, and she said, "Oh, Ruth, I'm so hesitant about doing that because I don't like to be on the radio." She said, "But I'll bring my husband to sit near me to hold my hand."
Oh.
Yeah, but I know people feel that way. But as I said to her, I said, please be relaxed. It's not going to be any different than talking to me on the telephone as you've done periodically. We're a relaxed program. We don't try to be too polished. We try to be as realistic as we can be. And so with that understanding, let's go on. Did you have any questions?
Well, I thought maybe you could talk about the role of genes. You know, a lot of people think if with this gene therapy that's getting a lot of hoopla, that somehow if you're born with the wrong genes or you're destined in some way to get cancer or whatever, and replacing it as they're trying to do would be the answer. Maybe you could talk about
Maybe you can talk about that. Didn't you do the review of a book about genes?
Oh, yes, of course.
Wasn't there interesting material different from what is promoted these days about genes in that book?
Absolutely. And, of course, the gene myth. I'm not sure of the exact by a Harvard professor whose name I can't quite remember at the moment.
It's all right.
But what she said is that it is absurd, this simplistic concept, first of all, that one gene is the cancer gene and another gene is this. Our bodies are so incredibly complex that there's multifunctions, so many things that to even consider the idea of fiddling with them would be a very dangerous concept. And I think, as you said also, people don't understand that lifestyle is so much more powerful that genes can be corrected. Isn't that true?
Well, I think that was in the book, if I remember, that they didn't feel that was a permanent situation.
Right.
And that with the change in body chemistry, the gene situation would change. Of course, it would mean changing body chemistry, otherwise it would remain the same.
And of course,
And I'm so glad you brought this up about the genes, because there's been an emphasis on it, and trying to go in that direction as though solutions will be found in that direction, changing the gene makeup. There may be some changes that will take place, but they're also running into unpredictable situations that are leading to harm.
Right.
So they're not prepared to go in that direction, and I don't think that's going to be the solution. It seems as though, and I've just read something recently that was put out by a group about the fact that there's not going to be any medicine and not going to be anything that focuses on trying to have one shot cure all when it comes to cancer, which is the supreme breakdown, but that they're ultimately going to have to focus on body chemistry, find out what has broken down, and make that repair. And that will apply not only to cancer. We like to keep saying this to people. It's a cancer organization, and cancer is feared. But whatever will correct body chemistry will correct any of the degenerative diseases.
And I think it's important to note, certainly, in fact, in your experience, I know there are so many times when a whole family got, let's say, breast cancer or something, and someone came to you with that diagnosis feeling as if they're destined because so many of their relatives didn't survive that disease, and they've ended up being survivors because
they changed their lifestyle, did something different than the other members of the family, and they're alive. One of them is alive today that I know of. I lose track of some of these people, but one man with a colon cancer who was in touch with us on a very regular basis, I got to know him quite well, but he was in his 90s about this time, and the last time I spoke to him, he entered a nursing home. I would not know whether he's still alive, but he did achieve longevity. Now, his mother and his father both died, first got colon cancer, took conventional therapy. Both of them died at different times, but within a year. He changed his lifestyle, and he was alive for many years. He was an insurance salesman, and he worked for many years. He was in touch with the organization. We had invited him to be one of the lecturers at one of our conventions, possibly more than once. And then, as I say, he was elderly by this time, and he entered a nursing home. I haven't heard from him since, but I'm sure he fulfilled his life expectancy in spite of the fact that his father and mother both developed cancer and died of it.
So it's what you do, not what you might happen to be born with.
I think that's proof of it, you see. And I think people ought to take that into account, that they're, just because someone examines you and finds you have a certain gene, it's not a death knell, nor does it mean you're going to suffer from some disease for the rest of your life. There, I think it's going to be proven. I wish I could say that, you know, with the... it's hard in the medical community to make definitive statements. They frown upon it. So I'm putting it my way. I think, and I think it sincerely, that things are going to be all right, and that the final way is people are going to have to move toward host resistance, you know, developing their own power of healing, all of that, that you have to concentrate on the body's normal situation, maintain health there. But can you imagine how we live with, some people are so extreme about bacteria that they are afraid to touch money, or because they feel they're vulnerable. It isn't as though it's a foolish obsession. They feel they're vulnerable because possibly during their lifetime they have gotten sick and they've had to take medication and probably overloaded with antibiotics so that they don't work that efficiently anymore. You know, they develop resistance.
As you've said, the stress is more dangerous, isn't it? Of worrying about
and the stress itself that is incorporated into that kind of thinking, which is dangerous. And so they protect themselves in every way. So I've seen people on the street with a nose mask, and they feel they need to do that. I'm not being critical of it. I'm just showing the background of why that can happen and why they do that.
It is a shame. The millions of dollars that are spent in something like gene therapy, if they would spend that on looking at healthy people, what they're doing right, you know. And
that's where the clue would be, to see why these people survive until they're aged. Some of these people don't follow any particular lifestyle, but they don't abuse themselves either. And another factor in the life of many of these things, they have a relaxed attitude about what's going on in the world, and their feeling of joy with the life they're in and the family that they have, and that too allows the body to maintain health. Stress destroys it. And when we get back, I'm going to talk about what stress does specifically to do the destruction.
Your life, your health, your network. This is Voice America Health and Wellness.
The Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, FACT, a nonprofit educational organization established in 1971, is an information and referral service for people seeking non-toxic approaches to health and healing. It supports and encourages biological cancer research, nutritional science investigations, disseminates information about non-toxic treatment for cancer to cancer patients, and fights to eliminate carcinogenic substances from the environment. From book lists, case history sections, and information on stem cells to cancer form, FACT's quarterly magazine. FACT is designed to serve the patient as a clearinghouse to cut through the overwhelming mass of information and misinformation on alternative cancer therapies in order to help individuals make the wisest medical choices possible. For more information on the Foundation for Advancement in Cancer Therapy, visit FACT-LTD.org or call 212-741-2790. Cancer information and support is just a click away. FACT-LTD.org.
Suppose you've just received a diagnosis of cancer. You're overwhelmed with a vast amount of information about conventional as well as alternative treatments. Which way do you go? Read Ruth Sackman's book, Rethinking Cancer. It might help you to make just this kind of crucial decision. Written in clear, common sense language, Rethinking Cancer shifts the focus from tumor reduction to correcting the cause of abnormal cell production. Rethinking Cancer is not only must reading for those with a cancer diagnosis, but for anyone interested in improving and maintaining health. Rethinking Cancer is available for $16.95 at most bookstores, or call Square One Publishers, 877-900-2665. That's 877-900-2665.
Are you tired of being tired? Are you sick of sitting around while life passes you by? You can get back on track by tuning in to Voice America Health and Wellness every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time for Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look. Attracting Abundance is the program that empowers you to finally break through your limiting beliefs and blocks and shows you how to succeed in all areas of your life, from improved financial abundance, health and weight problems, as well as your relationships. Don't wait another week to be joyful. Listen to Attracting Abundance, the Energy of Success with Carol Look this Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Time, right here on Voice America Health and Wellness.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
That's our signal that we're back again. I want to bring your attention to the next program with Paulette Cobain. That will be on July 12th. But I also have to announce something, that the end of this 13-week session will be over on July 26th. That will be our last program for a while. We may come back later in the fall. We're thinking seriously about it, but it isn't definite yet. But the last program will be on July 26th. The 12th, the next one will be the 19th, and on the 19th I would like to discuss many of the things that are available out in the marketplace that could be beneficial if they were utilized to a greater degree. I'm going to give you a quick little example so that you'll know what I'm talking about, and then we'll go into it in depth. For instance, there's a piece of equipment that has been developed which is called a hemodetoxifier. It's a blood detoxifier. It is the kind of thing that ought to be in every oncology department, not over only in oncology departments, but it should be in an oncology department, but in other departments. If anyone becomes poisoned about something, that hemodetoxifier can eliminate that poison in an hour and a quarter. It is an excellent piece of equipment, and you hardly hear anything about it. And there are other things of that kind that could be employed, which somehow or other are not being utilized to the degree they can. And I'd like some of the medical establishment to think about it and possibly let people know if they have an objection to it. Because I've known these things to work. We've introduced them in some places, in more than one place, and it has done things for patients that have been unbelievable. Now, we're going to talk about that, and I'll tell you some of the stories of things that have occurred using some of this equipment. And you'll be surprised that maybe if the public is informed and they look for these resources, then the medical community and hospitals may feel it's time for them to respond. So I just wanted to make sure I got that in before the end of the program. Now, since we still don't have a caller, we've got room to discuss other things, and it was very interesting for you to bring up the idea of discussing genes, because it's taking a great deal of money, and I don't think it's going to produce what they think it will. But since we have a little time, I'd also like to discuss cell therapy. We did a program on cell therapy, but I'd like to go into it a little bit further. Okay. Cell therapy is a technique where using healthy cells from animal sources, and this was developed in Europe 70 years ago, and it's been used in Europe and I think practically every country that I've come across except the United States, because the Food and Drug Administration decided it wasn't safe or it wasn't something. I don't remember what
it couldn't they couldn't understand why it worked, I think, was a problem.
But I was interested in their official pronouncement of why they didn't use it. And kept it out of the United States for 70 years while it was used in clinics in Mexico, in Canada, in the islands, Bermuda, England, France, Italy, Spain. I can't begin to tell you where else cell therapy is used. And what it is these healthy cells, for instance, if someone has a heart problem and he's given an injection of healthy cells, it tends to improve the heart. It tends to make a repair, or as they say in some circles, it rejuvenates the heart. It had been used by celebrities to a greater extent by going through that process and feeling rejuvenated, not only internally, but for celebrities it's important to stay young in appearance. And so for them, it was much more appealing to them, and they'd go to Europe and they'd go to the clinic there in France, where the original clinic is still in existence. It's called La Prairie, and it's still functioning, of course, not with the original people. And some of the listeners, if they want to, can investigate this further by going to medical libraries. The stuff is there. We know it's there because doctors have looked it up after we've talked about it, and they know it exists, but it still is not done on a large scale here in the United States. And well, something new is coming in, and everybody may have heard of that, although they didn't hear of cell therapy, is stem cells. Now, cell therapy is what we call organ-specific, which means if it's the heart, you get heart cells. If it's the kidney, you take kidney cells. If it's the lung, you take lung cells. Nerves, you take nerve cells. You see, which is different. But in stem cells, these cells actually have the capability, if they're good quality cells coming from the right source, say the placenta or the cord blood, these cells actually, on their own, oh dear, that machine isn't working. I hope it isn't bothering you.
No, it's not much.
The stem cells seek out the organs that require repair and go in that direction. You can see when they talk about placenta and cord blood, that material has to have the total type of cell because it's needed by the fetus to grow in every area, to build and grow in every area. Now, there's the federal government has decided that you cannot use stem cells except in a limited way, and they're focusing on what they call embryonic cells. And the excuse in some religious circles, not all, is that people may deliberately become pregnant and then want an abortion. And they're opposed to abortions. And for that reason, of course, it's being kept off the market while all these placentas are being thrown in the trash. Now, I want to add something. The Pope, it wasn't the present Pope, but Pope John had said that cell therapy should be used.
From the placenta.
and to use it from the placenta. There was no objection there. But this is what has been done here in the United States, has been creating an enormous amount of confusion about cell therapy and stem cells. And it's really a pity because of the power of that to heal. Christopher Reeve was trying to get it legalized. If he had had stem cells when he first had his accident, there's an excellent, now I didn't say a limited probability, I can't say it was a definite case, but there was an excellent probability that the repair of the nerve could have been taken place and he would not have been paralyzed the way he was. There are other people around who are doing things that could enjoy something of that kind. They've already tried it with diabetes and seen results, with multiple sclerosis and seen results, but it's still bogged down in a system that isn't approving its use on a large scale. There are doctors who are doing it. There are clinics who are areas of cell therapy, and there's the New York Blood Center here in New York where they're saving these placenta cells and all for the day when it is released for the public to get the benefit from it. We may have to move the politicians by educating the layperson. This is the end of the program. I hope we've been informative. I hope it's been helpful to you. And if you haven't heard, for those who haven't heard it, they'll find it on the archives.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. We'll be back again next Wednesday.
Have a good week.
Thank you for listening to Health Forum. To contact Ruth about the show, visit fact-ltd.org or call 212-741-2790. That's 212-741-2790. Tune in next Wednesday for another hour of Health Forum with Ruth Sackman.